Matthew chapter 2. Most churches this morning would have been singing them Christmas carols. And the reason why we don't, because my middle name is Scrooge. No, there's a reason for that. Okay, Matthew 2. We'll read through this. Let's go ahead and pray first. Lord, I do ask you to help us to be people that know what we believe, why we believe it. I pray that you'd help us to honor you in spite of the world system, in spite of how people view things. And I do ask that you'd help us to understand more about your word. Help us to understand the subtlety of Satan, where he can just very subtly change the focus from the Lord Jesus to something else, very subtly. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to honor your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Matthew 2, you can see it's dealing with Jesus as a young child. And the subject of this matter this morning is about a gift for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, being Christmas is coming up, I don't want to be Mr. Scrooge totally. So if you do the Christmas thing on Tuesday, fine, that's no problem. You do have liberty in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But I'd like to make a little minor adjustment or something to think about as far as this idea. It's often known that truth is often stranger than fiction. I saw on a church marquee, it says, "Keep Christ in Christmas." Well, it's kind of hard to keep him in it when he was never a part of it. If you do know the history about it, and I'm going to read a little bit of history about it. And again, I'm not, I don't want to rain on your parade if you're planning on doing something. If you got the bale bush in your house, that's fine. No problem. Okay. Here I want to reason some things out and try to think this thing through. Now, hypersensitive secularists don't even want to hear the name Christmas because it's got the word Christ in it, and they don't even want to hear anything about it. But there's so much misinformation, unbiblical ideas, error, paganism that is associated with this idea. And I'm going to read through Matthew chapter 2, the entire chapter, and then point out that the wrong thinking of many. Christmas is often a very happy time for some, but it's one of the saddest time for others. It is one of the saddest time for people that have lost a loved one within this past year. It is, I remember as a kid, in the afternoon of Christmas, the melancholy feeling comes over you. Like, you have all this hype, give this kid this gift, and what does he do? He throws the gift away and plays with a box. Forget that. Get him the box. Okay, but just a little bit different viewpoint this morning. Matthew chapter 2, it says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king." So we've got a Roman king. "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." It doesn't say three, just wise men. Okay, so you got a few of them. "From the east," the east was known for knowledge, for wisdom, place, school of learning, things like that. So here's what Herod says, saying, "Where is he that's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Okay, so the wise men came. And then it says, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So this is something that spread out through the whole city. There are some big shots in town, some wise men. Okay, the new Bibles would probably say wise guys. Okay, and so there they are. And Herod the king is, this guy is, of course, going to be a thin-skinned little sissy. And he is going to be intimidated by the thought of someone becoming a king of the Jews. Verse 4, "When he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him," I'm kind of surprised they guys knew this answer, to be honest with you. These guys are apostate. Well, they did know this answer, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So now we have one prophecy that Jesus Christ is going to fulfill. Actually, two. His birthplace, Bethlehem, and that he is going to be king someday. We're waiting for that. And the sooner the better. Okay, and so looking forward to that day. Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time this star appeared. Okay, now a lot of people put the credit, the idea on this star. That is a prophecy found in Numbers. But what tipped off the wise men about the birth of the Messiah wasn't the star, per se. It was like icing on the cake. How they knew it exactly was the calendar system based on Daniel chapter 9. One of the major prophecies of the Bible is Daniel's 70 weeks. And 69 of those 70 weeks, or 483 years, culminated, completed on the day of Palm Sunday. And then the Monday after that would be day number one of the 70th week. So it appears that some of that 70th week, the calendar did continue. And then on Sunday, Palm Sunday, Jesus Christ was recognized by the people, not the authorities, but by the people. When he came in on Palm Sunday, the colt, the foal of an ass, and he recognized to be the king. We know he wasn't put on the throne yet, but that's when they recognized him on Sunday and they crucified him by Wednesday. Okay, and so that would be, we're being precise as far as the calendar goes with the Bible itself. Now notice very closely, verse 8, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Okay, young child. Often the manger scenes has Jesus in a manger. And of course, that is true. He was born in a barn. Okay, and so you got that. But yet they got three guys showing up, the wise men coming into this manger scene. But that's not what the Bible says. He was a young child. Probably a year and 9 months, year and 10 months, under two, slightly under two. How we know that is because of the response of Mr. Politician after he gets all his, you know, bent out of shape, where, you know, he got exposed to be a liar and a murderer. Okay, so he's called a young child. Now, as we read through this, you'll see that the writer is going to say over and over and over, young child and his mother. Young child and his mother. He doesn't say mother and her child. It's the other way around. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ gets a preeminent place. Okay, so we have that, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood where the young child was, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, notice he's not in a manger now, he's in a house. Young child, they saw the young child with his mother, with Mary his mother, okay, again, and fell down and worshipped him. Jesus Christ is worthy of that. The Lord Jesus Christ is absolutely and totally worthy of worship because he is God. This is God as a young child. God manifests in the flesh. God completely, God holy. Okay, so this is God. And they presented, this is where people get the idea of three wise men because there were three different types of gifts. Okay, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, it's very instructive why those three are chosen. Those three typify the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prophet, priest, king. His first coming, 3.5 year ministry, prophet. Today, interceding for the believer, priest. King, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and establishes his kingdom. At the beginning of the millennium. You know, as far as that goes. Gold represents a gift that's given to a king. Frankincense, incense is portrayed as prayer, Psalms 141 verse 2. That is what's given to a priest. Myrrh. Myrrh is an herb, a spice, an herb itself that is used with the anointing of a dead body. That's what was used to anoint the body of Jesus. And myrrh is what a prophet portrays. Prophet, priest, and king. Those are the three gifts. Now, wouldn't it have been a blessing to be one of those wise men to give that to Jesus Christ? Well, we do still have that opportunity. Verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Okay, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So there's his stepfather. Okay, in a dream saying, arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Prophecy number 3. Okay, at least number 2 that's been fulfilled. Bethlehem, born in Bethlehem, coming out of Egypt. A place to come out of and stay out of. Okay, out of Egypt. So we have 2 for 2 as far as prophecies Jesus fulfilled. The prophecy of him being king, that is still future. 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. So Mr. Herod, you know, a full-grown man, you know, probably fell on the ground, kicked his feet like a little 2-year-old, yelled and screamed, cried, pouted, because, oh, I can't believe those guys did that to me. What is his intentions? What did this spoiled little brat of society do? What did this parasite of the Romans do? He sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Now there is the Bible letting you know what friends in high places intend to do. This is what the abortion crowd would do if they could get away with it. In fact, they already have those intentions, where they're now pushing to allow a child to be born for, oh, and then observe it for 4, 5, 6 months, and then take it out. So if you can imagine this scene, soldiers coming into people's houses, knowing where the children were born, coming in and going from house to house, finding a child that's 2 years old and younger, ripping it out of the mother's hand, probably hacking the mother in the process, mama screaming, daddy screaming, kids screaming, and this is happening on every street in that area. A Roman king is trying to kill Jesus Christ. That's something to think about. Verse 19, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Now, this is how God makes his words known prior to written revelation. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. This is how he makes his words known. Nothing, no problem here. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. And when he had heard that Archelaus or whatever did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Now the Lord told him, go on in. He said, but boy, you know, you got some common sense here. Oh boy, like father, like son. I don't know about this. Then it says, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Now this is north Israel. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Prophecy number 4. Now there are 48 different prophecies that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled in his first coming. 48 out of 48. Only one who can do that is God himself. That's an amazing thing. Now there is the events of the Lord Jesus Christ as a young child. You can see that Herod the king, Herod the Roman, wants to practice something. Now, as far as the idea of Christmas, I want to give some thoughts about that. What is the origin? Have you ever studied the origin of Christmas? A lot of people assume that it goes back to the birth of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ was born on that day. It's an assumption. Here's some history about it. If you can just type it up and look it up. Originally, it came out of Rome. You might even take it back a little further to Egypt if you want, or even to Babylon. But Rome is one that kind of made it popular. They first introduced a holiday called Saturnalia. It's a worship of Saturn, the sun god. It was a week-long period of lawlessness celebrated between December 17th to the 25th. During this period, the Roman courts were closed, and Roman law dictated that no one could be punished for damaging property or injuring people. So obviously we know what happened. In a certain society, a certain city, certain county, or however they had that thing established, there would be an enemy of the state chosen. An individual, a man or a woman. They would take this individual and enforce them, indulge them in food and other physical pleasures, perversion throughout the week. At the week's conclusion, at the festival's conclusion on December 25th, the Roman authorities believed they were destroying the forces of darkness by brutally murdering that person. That's its roots. As it continued to grow on, people would have widespread intoxication, running around naked, raping people, eating human-shaped biscuits. Okay, and this was known at those times to be this feast time. Well, in the 4th century, we had a pope come along. Mr. Pope wants to try to pull in these pagans into the Christian church, meaning the Catholic Church. This is where the word Christmas comes from. Christmas. We had a fellow down at the Rensselaer Church. People will write Xmas. He would put it in front of his house. He'd have a big sign. He'd write, Mary, Christ, X. I mean, at least he got that part. He'd cross out the mass. He'd put it on his little moped, and he'd ride around town with it like that. That was his way of testifying. That's a good thing. So in the 4th century, the Catholic Church imported this Saturnalia festival into the Christian Church, the Catholic Church, and then they announced that December 25th is the birthday of Jesus. Okay, that's where that came from. Now, the idea of Santa Claus and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, they got a drunken reindeer in the front because he drinks so much his nose turns red. And so that's why they got that guy around, drinking too much eggnog. Now, this was a known fact to the colonists. Remember, the colonists fled Europe from what? Persecution of who? Catholic Church? The Church of England. The Church of England is kin to the Catholic Church. They had the same thing. And so the Puritans actually made it illegal. Now, I wouldn't go that far. But they actually made it illegal for anybody in Massachusetts. Boy, Massachusetts has gone a long way now, haven't they? To celebrate Christmas. It was about 3 decades in there. They would fine people that tried to celebrate it. Okay, and it's rather interesting that in 1990 in Ohio, a school board in Ohio, Solon, Ohio, the school board was afraid of getting sued because of nativity scenes and Christmas scenes and things like that. So they wanted to stop having all those things, and some of the people in the area, they got all upset. No, we are going to keep it this way, and we need to have Christmas, we need to do that. And so it went into court. And the court decreed that they should have Christmas because it is not a separation of church and state, because Christmas is an international holiday that has nothing to do with religion. Hey, they got that right, didn't they? They figured that out. Now that's a little bit of the roots of the matter as far as that goes. And so now the idea of the Lord's birth. If a person wants to find out when the Lord was born and when he died, it's really not difficult to figure out. Go to the Bible, read its words, believe its words. And if you're going to try to pick a date for the Lord's birthday, if you do want to honor his birthday, now there's no command in the Bible to honor his birth, but we do have something to honor his death, right? His death and resurrection. So, now, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness, you know, where they believe if you have birthday parties, you're wicked. Because there's only two birthday parties in the Bible, and at both birthday parties, somebody died. Pharaoh and John the Baptist, that one. Okay, well, whatever. Okay, but the idea of this, if it says in Ecclesiastes that it is better, the day of one's death is better than the day of their birth. Now, this is why the Bible honors the Lord's death, but we don't want to limit it to his death. We want to also brag about his resurrection. And that is what is a gift that's given to man. Now, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ likely occurred in autumn, the 15th day of the 7th month of the Jewish calendar. It would be our September, October, known in the Bible to be the Feast of Tabernacles. That is a feast that man is going to keep throughout eternity. I would say the Lord would probably say, God would probably say, I'm going to at least make you get it right. Okay, and the reason why that's the most logical and biblical idea is because we know Jesus was 33 and a half years old when he died. He died in the spring. Take that half away, so very simplistically, you got to figure it to be autumn. But you can go back to Luke chapter 1, read about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was born 6 months prior to the Lord Jesus. Read when he was born. You can read it from his dad. Eighth course, very precise. It's very precise. Figure out that John the Baptist was born in the springtime. The Lord himself born 6 months later in the autumn. The Catholic Church puts John the Baptist's birth on June 25th. They obviously got to do that to make it match Christmas. Okay, that's what they've done. Now, if you run the Gospel according to John, there are four times you discover the Passover in the Gospel according to John. There will have to be four Passovers for the Lord's ministry to be 3.5 years long. He began his ministry, Luke chapter 3, verse 23, where it says he was about 30 years old. So about 30. In the Old Testament, a priest did not become a priest officially to fulfill his office from the age 30 to 50. That was a 20-year ministry they had. That was it. So up to 30 to 50, Jesus began. It's interesting that Joseph became second under Pharaoh about 30. The Lord Jesus, David became king at 30. And the Lord Jesus began his ministry at about 30. So that's when he got baptized, about 30. So make that August, beginning his ministry, around 30. And in John chapter 2, you have a Passover. John 5, you got a Passover. John 6, you got a Passover. And John 19, at the Passover, when the Passover, the Lamb of God, offered himself. That would have probably been around 30 AD, because that year is when Passover landed on a Wednesday. Now, one thing we do recognize about Christmas is gifts. People talk about gifts, 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 gifts. The greatest gift of all, Jesus said to the woman at the well, John chapter 4, verse 10, the greatest gift of all is this. Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in Oriental cultures, this is more important to them than in our culture, but when somebody, you go into somebody's house and they offer you a gift, if you reject it, that's like slapping them in the face. I mean, it could be roadkill, I don't know what it is. You got to do the best you can to choke it down, because it is a slap in their face. Now, we have a God in heaven who's given a gift, the most precious gift ever known to anybody. And it's called an unspeakable gift in 2 Corinthians 9. And that God in heaven, when a man rejects or ignores or belittles the gift of God, he is slapping that God in the face. When you take that gift, is what you're doing is you're honoring the person that's giving the gift. You're honoring them. Okay, when it's an official thing, as far as royalty and things like that, when a gift is given, it's like you're honoring the one giving the gift. And I tell you, the way to honor God himself is to receive his son. You honor. A lot of people, it's just like they think it's a fire escape. What about honoring Jesus Christ? Receiving that great gift. How do you receive that gift? It's very simple. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves, it's a gift. Romans chapter 5 makes it redundant. A free gift. It's like saying wet water. Free gift, free gift, free gift. He wants to make sure we understand. What do you do to get a gift? Okay, somebody comes up to you. If you had your back to them and say, hey, I want to give you something. You have to repent toward them. You have to turn toward the person. And then the person hands you the gift and you reach out and take the gift. How do you get the gift of eternal life? You repent toward God. You turn toward God. And then the Lord Jesus Christ offers that gift and you receive it. By grace through faith. There's no gift greater than that. The height of ingratitude is a person who receives God's gifts and then lives in disregard to that God. A height of ingratitude. It is foolish and pride to ignore or reject that offer from God. Absolutely foolish. But I want to show you something that's going to occur on Tuesday. Now, maybe some Christian home, maybe they'll get out a Bible and read Luke chapter 2. That's what Janet's family used to do. Before they'd open their gifts, they'd read Luke chapter 2, read through that story. And that was a good thing to do. But I'm going to tell you what actually does happen in most cases. So this is where I need my helpers. So I need a couple of the Yancey children, a couple of the Howards, four of the Montells. So I need you to come up, get around this table. Mr. Jackson, could you bring the presents? Savannah, I need you up here. And Malia. So get around that table, and we're going to have a birthday party the Christmas way. So who's going to be the birthday person? Who wants to be the birthday person? Malia? Okay. So put them all right out there. Okay, Malia, you get right in front there. You get on this side, Malia. I want you on this side. So what do we have at birthday parties? We usually have cake, right? We got some cake. Nowadays they're doing all these cupcakey thingies. So that's what we're going to do. So everybody gets a little cupcake thingy. Everybody gets a little cupcake thingy. So we put one in front of each one. Man, oh man, you are going to enjoy that. We'll slide this over this way. We'll slide this over this way and that way. There we go. One in front of each one. You want to, let's see, there's that. We'll slide down one. One there. One there. One there. And then one for the birthday girl right there. We'll put yours right in the center so everybody can see your birthday. What else do we need at a birthday party? A candle. Got to have a candle. Instead of having 10, 12 candles wherever we need, I got me one big candle. So we are going to put this candle right on that cake. So there's our candle. You like that candle, don't you? So before we do this, what do we usually do? We usually light the candle and sing happy birthday, right? Now we're going to sing happy birthday the way Janet's family does it, the Kreider family. They do it a masterful way. They sing it at the top of their lungs, as off-key as they can get. I mean, it's just horrible. So I want you to be able to sing happy birthday as loud as you can, as off-key as you can. That's fine. If you got a bad voice, then you don't have to pretend. So we got us our candle there. We got to get that thing going. Don't blow it out yet. Are you ready to sing? As loud as you can, as off-key as you can. Ready? Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you. You're not singing loud enough. Happy birthday, dear Malaya. Happy birthday to you. Okay, now at birthday parties, we're going to do it Christmas style. We're going to give a present to you, to you, to you. Now, remember, make sure you shake it. Something's in there. To you, to you, 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 and you. Now go ahead and open your present. What do you think's in it? It's a bomb. That's what it is. Poor Malia. Her, you like your cake? Yes, that's your cake. Open the box, and what's inside is yours. You can show it. There you go. Did everybody get one?
Yeah, it's a dollar.
And did you get yours open? Here you go. There you go.
My cupcake is smashed.
Now, is that not true, what happens on Christmas? Everybody gets a gift but Jesus Christ. Okay, now you can go back. That's for you.
Okay, thank you.
So maybe we could change one thing. If you would look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 40. We did that down in Rensselaer, and the little boy's face was priceless. When everybody got a gift but him, he was like... Matthew 25, verse 40. Now, this is about the judgment of the nations. This, doctrinally, it's about the judgment that Jesus Christ will give at the end of the tribulation time period. It's about the treatment of the Jewish or the righteous people of the tribulation. And then it says in Matthew 5, verse 40, the king shall answer. Matthew 25, verse 40. The king shall answer. So this is the king, Jesus Christ. This is when he establishes his kingdom. He shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you've done unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, in this context, it's about visiting them while in prison and clothing them when they're going through all the sufferings of the tribulation time period. And the Lord said, you did that for me. And they said, how do we do that? He said, you did it unto my brethren. So, okay, if a person is going to do all this stuff, that's fine, that's their business. But how about if we could direct our families or some of the children saying, why don't we give a gift to Jesus Christ? Ask the Lord to guide you. Ask the Lord to give somebody in your mind, maybe somebody's going through a tough time, maybe somebody having a hard time financially, maybe somebody's going through some tough trials, or maybe just somebody that you want to honor. And you give them a gift. And then the Lord would say that that's a gift that you're giving to me. You see, and this would be a way to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't have to limit ourselves to this time of year. If you want to be biblical, to do it in September time of year. You know, that matters not. But the thing is that our God in heaven has given us a marvelous gift in Jesus Christ. And that God in heaven who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, who don't need anything, and that's one of the difficult things, you know, is when your parents get in their upper year, what do you get them? I tell you what they want is they want your time. But our God in heaven wants our time. And our God in heaven has given us an opportunity
to give something back to Him. Give a gift to our Savior. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray You'd help us to recognize how subtle Satan is, that people who will mention that Christmas is about Jesus, but yet so subtly our shift gets focused to gifts, covetousness. Our thoughts get off of the Lord Jesus, and in fact, the Lord Jesus Himself doesn't get anything. And Lord, this time of year, I pray You'd help us to find somebody that we can give something to that might be a gift that's given to Thee. And by chance, if somebody in this room has not received Your gift of eternal life, that they'd recognize what they have offered to them. And they would honor God by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, trusting in Him and Him alone. And Lord, I do pray You'd help us, each and every one, somehow, some way, to figure out a way, ask You to guide us, that we might give a gift to Thee by giving something, helping somebody out. We have many missionaries. And Lord, I just pray You'd help us in this matter. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed with that.